It is really, truly amazing days that we are living in. Listen, I want to welcome everybody coming in to listen live and to all those eventually that will download in the archives. Thousands and thousands and thousands of dear friends. Those that might be questing, looking for something. Those who are believers looking for a little wisdom. And even for those on the other side that don't like what we do or what we are. Well, God's grace, God's might, God's mercy. And God's love to you today. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. Listen, this is our hour during the week, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're grateful to have it, grateful that you are praying for us, and there's been support coming in to take care of all the stuff. Want to say welcome to those who have written lately, Greg and David and others. Just listen, it's great to have the comments, the questions, concerns, and I appreciate that. We like to try to answer you now during the live show even. ShatterXmail@sbcglobal.net. And I've seen where Tom Dunn has written to me about the Canton Conference, and he's inviting Tom Horn. He's inviting others, and has sent me a picture of the conference center, so we're glad about that. But if you get a chance, you go to ShatterTheDarkness.net. That is the central site from, again, myself, Russ Dizdar, for those who are new. And there's bio there, there's information. A lot of hundreds of things to download. And we're noticing now about 20,000 or more downloads of all these MP3s, courses, conference materials. It's all there. We pray that it's a blessing. Let me ask you a question, because this week we're working on a series that's titled Behind the Scenes of History, the Past, the Present, and the Near Future. It definitely affects you. All that has gone on, I mean, listen, you might be listening, living in America, Canada, wherever else this goes live. You may be listening later in Russia, in China, and England, and in South America. And where you're living right now in history, again, behind all of that is what led up to it to this very day. Very clearly revealed in the book of Revelation 12 is a panoramic view. There's been a battle going on in a fallen, broken world that we were originally meant to not only know God, but bear the majesty, the image, the Imago Dei. Listen, we were to be in that brilliance in the beginning, but a literal war broke out and we joined that. Now listen, can I say it? We have become the rebels. We have become the sinners. We have become those who screwed it up. And we know that in our lives because we have pain, we have guilt, we have dysfunction, we're messed up. We really are. The world is. You and I know this. Behind the scenes, in America's history, there is clearly, constantly, and always that shadow presence. Biblical revelation, and only this biblical revelation gives the picture clear enough, broad enough, wide enough for all of us. It gives distinction and names the dark, shadowy, but operative. Let me say this, the intelligence, the presence, the power of this unseen darkness, the personality of it is beyond fallen humankind alone. We're talking about the fallen cherub, the demonic realm, the fallen angels, all of this is massive. Listen, the history has been a bloody trail. It has been one of deceit, one of battle, one of bloodshed. And here we are now. Listen, I got an invitation the other day about coming to a surprise party. I was told that the husband forbid his wife from doing a surprise party, but she was willing to set up a dinner time. I remember coming to a surprise party once myself. My wife did it. I was 40 years old, and I was away, taken away during the day. When I got back to the house, there must have been about 60 people there waiting. And more arrived even when I arrived, and it was a surprise, and it was massive, and it was great. I did the same for my wife at her 50th birthday party. Man, we had her completely, I mean, she had no idea. As a matter of fact, I had her mother and her stepfather bring her in to the place that we were using for her party. Blindfolded, she had no idea where she was. She's being led by her mother and stepfather into this building. And when she took the blindfold off, she had no idea that for days we had contacted all the people from her past jobs and work, all of her extended family, friends, family member, church, people that she hadn't seen for years we had contacted. We literally packed out the hall. When the blindfold was taken off, because everybody was silent, all of a sudden, of course, they screamed out happy birthday, so forth. She was blown away. And there was cake, there was food, there was presents. We had all kinds of fun things to do. You know what I did? All of her life that I've known her, she loved Mustangs. Now, she's always gotten an Escort, a Ford Escort to drive. She liked them. She had a Ford Escort. Had 120,000 miles, been wrecked a couple times. Well, not that she wrecked it. People ran into her. Got it fixed. It was kind of on its last leg in a way. We were not in the greatest of financial abilities. But prayerfully, for whatever reason, her favorite color's red. For whatever reason, her favorite Mustang was the 2002 version. I found a used one on a car lot. Looked brand new. Looked showroom new. I spent 6 hours that day battling over prices and over financing and over all the stuff and how much they'd give me for the other. I tell you what, I do believe God was operative in helping me. And I drove out of there with that Mustang. Brought it to the building where my wife was going to be brought. Had it hidden, of course. Put a big bow on it. At the end of the birthday party, in which she was blown away the entire time, I came up to her in front of all the people, packed out house, and said, "Honey, I want you to know that I finally fixed the mirror or dealt with it that was on your Escort, the broken one. It's all dealt with now." And I said, "I no longer have the keys to that car, but here are the keys to another car." And I simply said that a red 2002 Mustang, used 35,000 miles, but looked brand new, was sitting outside. Of course, she didn't believe it at first. She jumped up. She ran to the door, looked out in front of about 75, 85 people. She screamed out loud. She could not believe it. She was hollering all the way down the stairs, saw that Mustang. I mean, it's just a thing. It's just a car. That's all it is. The point here, behind the scenes, all kinds of activity went on. All kinds of good activity, good intent, good people, good friends, good family members. My daughter worked and built things and made things and signs and cards and helped in all of it. And we were just working together for weeks. And my wife had no idea. Behind the scenes, we plotted something good. We plotted something that, and literally, listen, to this day, my wife's car now has like 160,000 miles on it. It still looks brand new. We take care of it. And she still drives it. She doesn't want another car. For believers out there, and for those who are not yet believers, I want to tell you about Romans chapter 8, where there's a scripture that talks about how God is at work for the good of those who are called, that love God and are called according to His purpose. If you're a believer in Christ, you've got to understand that behind the scenes, God is at work, supernaturally operative for the good. For those who love Him, that know Him, that are called according to His purpose. If you don't know Him, you can come to know Him today. That's the good news. God loves you. God seeks you. God summons you. This may be the providential day you feel His Spirit draw you. God wants you to be saved, period. God wants to operate. It's a good thing to be saved. Totally forgiven. totally made right before God. God coming inside your life, you being made alive to God spiritually, given the gift of eternal life, given the promises of God, the presence of God, the guidance of God, the love of God. Listen, I'm not ashamed to tell you how good salvation in Christ is, how real it is, how real He is. And today, God has been operative behind the scenes in my life, working for the good. God is working for the good. You know, when I had a little baby daughter when she was 2 years old, 2 days old, even before she was born, you know what I was doing? I was arranging things and getting things ready, a crib, a room, all the stuff was getting ready. As a dad, I was at work, and I believe to this very day, she's going to be 20 this year. She's in her third year of college. And I don't believe there's ever been a time in all of her life that I didn't plot and plan what is good. I've never sat down purposely trying to neglect her or set her up for something bad. And I'm just a peon of a dad, a little dad. God the Father, God is at work for the good. Now, I need to say that in the context of tonight, the context of the message that we've been pouring out this week, Monday and Tuesday, and actually twice on Tuesday. I just finished a couple of things today and put them up on the website, shatterthedarkness.net. We just put up session number 7 on dark rituals, dark powers. It's about the victims that are out there. And how to find them and how to minister to them and so forth. It's like an hour and 10 minutes long if you get a chance or if you're doing that series. It's right there on the front page, though, right where it says today, daily, weekly updates. You'll find one where it says new, dark rituals, dark powers. Now, you're also going to see tonight, there's a message going up. It says, if these are the last days, then why do anything? That's about 42 minutes. That's going to be up. I've been working and praying and preparing, and we got a couple of these done earlier today before coming on live. And I felt because God leading, God guiding, these are the things we need to get out. And many of you, some, have written saying, where's the next session in that series? Others are waiting for that one that we just put up. So I want you to know that those are going up. There are things being done behind the scenes. Wow. God is operative. That is true. I have used a little gospel track for years, and the beginning of it says, God has a wonderful plan for your life. That He has a plan. Please understand that salvation involves a plan of God, and when we are born again, we're not just born. You know, when my daughter was born, I didn't leave her at the hospital. We brought her home. We didn't all of a sudden say, oops, what do we do now? Do I get a crib? Do I get bottles? Do we get a little bedroom for her? Toys? What do we do now? We were already planning and plotting and setting it all up. Everything for the good. You got to understand that in salvation, God has absolutely all of the things necessary. Everything we need has already been plotted and planned and set out, and God is operative in leading you to the depths of knowing, being clothed and saturated and filled with Christ. And it's awesome. So I just simply want to say today that it's awesome. God is at work behind the scenes. We've been saying that in this series that, you know, what is behind the scenes, the past, the present, and the future. There is activity going on. There was when Israel was formed. There was before the flood. I mean, think about the B'nai Elohim, the fallen angels that came down. They grabbed the women. They created Nephilim. You've heard about the Nephilim, right? The flood and the goal to get rid of what was transmuting the totality of humanity. It was a saving act for the future. You see, if God ended it back in the flood totally, you and I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be doing this. We wouldn't exist. Thank God for existence and God's longevity. God's omniscience. God knows. He knows your name, knows the moment you were conceived, knows the moment you were born. And if you're not born again of the Spirit of God, birthed into God through Jesus, then please at least know something. That's what God plans, plots, wants, desires, based on his love. But as we've said in this week so far, behind the scenes of history, past, present, and the near future, there's a dark, ominous, active presence. It involves entities, yes, powerful and mighty and dark and hating of God and despising of humanity. Now, they're only going to use humanity as fodder. Only, listen, Satanists and Druids and Lucifer, listen, whatever background, if you are open to the other spirits, if you're open to that side, well, there's no question they want to preoccupy their operative. There's a synchronicity, a satanic synchronicity going on. It involves your life, your family, because we've dealt with generational issues and bloodlines, familiar spirits. What's that all about? It's about demonic presence that got somehow into your family line. Grandfathers, they open doors. The way the dark side works is they feel they have a right. That they literally have a right to be there, operating even in your life. Isn't that amazing? And if they're operating in your life, I mean, if you've got voices, if you've got things, if you've got stuff happening, then you got to, you know, begin to say, well, you know, what is going on here? Did you open the door? Did you open a door where spirits were able to come through and claim a right? See, they're operative in a personal sense. Do the demonic realm, do they want your kids? Do you know how many people write me about their kids? And I'm talking about 70-year-olds that write me about their kids who are 50 and care about them because of the doors that are open, the things that are going on in their life. And it's very vital that we realize that behind the scenes of our personal history is a battle. There is no question that Satan and demonic realm is operative in bringing deception, seduction, trying to steal the word of God and keep you from ever getting to God. That's the goal on that side. Obviously, on the other side, God who sends Christ into the world, the Spirit of God into the world, the great mission of God. It's all about your life, God arranging things. Maybe if you're not yet saved, don't know the living Christ, you've missed some of the providence of God. The setting things up for a spiritual birthday. A spiritual birthday in which God is arranging things to bring you to Christ. Knocking at your door, summoning you, speaking to you. And maybe it's today that you come to Christ. And I pray that if you receive the living Christ today or during this week or listening to any of these broadcasts we do, I want you to write to me, ShatterXmail, sbcglobal.net. I want to know about it. I want to be able to help you and pray for you and rejoice. You know what it says in the scripture? Jesus taught this, that when even one individual like you, one, like your family members, one, like somebody in your neighborhood, one individual, maybe downloading next month this very message, someone in Russia, Moscow, there's individuals downloading in seven different cities in China. There you hear that Christ is Savior, God, he's pursuing you, that whoever calls on the name receives Christ. See, he wants to get into your life. And as you hear the message, the word of God, God builds the ability for you to believe. It's called the word of faith. You hear it, God enables you. Romans 10 tells you all about it. And you can give, you can come, you can let the living Christ come into your life and bring all of God's love, grace, power, might, and the gift of eternal life inside. Who would be ashamed of telling about this? Who would be afraid to listen? But I got to tell you that behind the scenes, there is another operative dark power It is even said by Jesus, he will try to steal the word, the very words of God that are quoted, that maybe somebody has heard, steal it from them so that they cannot believe and be saved. So if you hear the word of God, the word of Christ, the word of salvation, believe now, because there's someone fighting to steal it all from you. If you're a believer and share Jesus with people, don't forget to pray over that and re-share and re-go back, because the battle goes on an individual battle, on a family, obviously on people groups and nations. See, when it comes to nations, Satan, territorial, listen, the principalities and powers, what are called cosmocrators, they want spiritual air superiority, territorial superiority. They want rights and authority in government leadership. They want to inspire laws to be written, ideology. They want to inspire things. I mean, a clear-cut example, obviously, is Nazi Germany. Behind the scenes of the Germans was a ferocious spiritual work, beaten down, depressed, and desperate Germany, instead of opening their heart and life in complete, it's like an individual. If you're down, depressed, out, you know, broke, you know, the devil may appeal to you. I mean, the devil took Jesus up to a high area, promised him all the kingdoms of the world because it was given to him to give. Promised him that if he would but bow down and worship. Of course, Jesus, you know, quoted the word of God and stood his ground and beat the devil again. But I tell you right now that there's no question. There's rock stars that are very, very clear of the fact that Satan offers, and they accept. Sold our souls. Remember the rock group Nazareth? I asked the mighty Jesus, listen, but they sold their soul to the devil. How's that turning out for you? Marilyn Manson, how's that turning out for you? A lot of rock stars, how's that turning out for you? Among all of the drugs, the puke, the filth, the disease, among all of the disillusionment, the suicides, the deaths, the sadnesses, Janis Joplin, Keith Moon. Of so many others. I tell you right now that the devil always offers something that is enticing. Look behind the scenes, Genesis 3, as humanity is walking literally face to face with God, bearing the image of God in the Adamic nature. They know nothing but eternity, the blessing of God, health, beauty, God's love, no disease, no sickness, no rape, no murder, nothing, no war. God knows what is coming and preempts it and gives them a word. The word of God sets the battle lines and gives them the provision that would keep them from ever falling, and sin and the devil from ever entering in. Now, the truth is that mankind did not sin in and of ourselves. It didn't just originate in our hearts. Theologians should understand that. We didn't just do it out of ourselves. That was done in the fallen cherub. Ezekiel 28, about the beauty of the anointed, once anointed cherub, it says, until, read it, Ezekiel 28, until wickedness, the Hebrew word means a violent-willed choice of cognitive, thoroughly, deeply, and like I say, violent. A choice was made until wickedness was found in you. And then you see the absolute disintegration, sanctuaries desecrated, the fall of the once anointed cherub that walked among the fiery stones of God. He's no longer named the anointed cherub. He's named Satan, devil, dragon. I mean, isn't that what we're reading in Revelation 12? Revelation 12, beyond Nostradamus, beyond Edgar Cayce, beyond the 2012ers. And I'm going to tell you right now, the 2012ers, they're going to come up with more and more and more stuff concerning the prophecies of the Mayans. We're going to be saturated with more books and more DVDs and more documentaries. We're going to hear more and more about the 2012ers and the amazing work and all of what they were and how smart and these prophecies and these warnings. I've got to say something here. As I watched another documentary and I watched individuals that are worldwide known, in people that are known, book authors and so forth, and I see them sitting on those ziggurats, those temples there among the old Mayan ruins. I listen to them as they're talking about the brilliant Mayans, the wonderful Mayans, the prophecies of the Mayans, the cycles the Mayans were speaking about, and pulling out more and more and more and more, and nothing but good about the Mayans. I'm so stinking sick of that lie. I watched as book authors and others were sitting on the long ziggurat-type temple stairs. That's the stairs where the blood of human sacrifice flowed, where heads bobbled down the steps. That's the stairs where Quetzalcoatl and other demon gods, Nephilim-oriented, led the people and subjugated the people and guided the people into a worship of demon gods, the appearance of Nephilim presence, and the shedding of thousands and thousands. There's pictures that I have of these priests of the Mayans that would be taking these individuals that were tied up, reaching in and clawing into their guts and pulling them out and killing them in a torturous, gruesome manner in sacrifice, shedding their blood and killing them. There's others that talk about how children are in like a pot type thing, melted, burned. They were fried. The heads that were lobbed off. And again, by the thousands and thousands, human beings were being slaughtered, ritual sacrifice, demonic summoning of powers. I mean, this is the place, I've already said it in one of the other sessions on dark rituals, dark powers. Satanic rituals that involve the shedding of human blood. You know what it's about? It's one of the broadest ways to open gateways. The demons come in and seize, attached to the fear and the terror and the pain, and sometimes in rituals the sexual perversion, the energies that are raised, man, they're attaching to the blood that's being shed. The demons are coming, and when the human being is finally killed, the demons that came up and grabbed a hold of all of this now have crossed over and they're in our realm. Now, this is not what I had plotted and planned for tonight, but maybe it's what God has plotted and planned for tonight. Because we're doing a series on what's going on behind the scenes, past the Mayans even, present, the prophecies that millions are hearing about, that very intelligent as far as book writers and authors and DVD makers and documentary makers and scientists and theoretical physics, you know, there's all these individuals that are just gloating over the Mayans. I mean, Daniel Pinchbeck in his book, The Return of Quetzalcoatl, talks about going down, taking the drug that opens them up to the spirits. Now, long before Daniel did it, PK Man, Ted Owens in the 70s did it, and guided by extra-dimensional presence in his life, going down to those same temples, seeking the permission of the gods, the demon gods, that are still present. You see, none of these researchers have told you the truth. None of them. that the ancient demon gods that guided the Mayans to the vast, massive human transmutation, to the massive human sacrifice, the agony, the fear, the gruesomeness of it all. I'll come out later, probably next year, with a series of messages on the demon-worshipping, human-sacrificing, cannibalistic even at times, Mayans. I will come out with more insight on the demon gods and the Nephilim connection. Quetzalcoatl. In the book, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 or 7 of the books I bought and reading through all of it, and DVDs buying and documentaries watching and listening to speakers and talk shows and things like that. But as I watched some of these, I mean, world-renowned individuals, and I did this just the other day, in a special I watched as individuals sat on those very same steps talking about physics and science and the connection with Mayan prophecies and what the sun may do and the catastrophic things that can occur. And I'm listening to the kind of new age, again, the precursors that were laid out in the 60s and 70s, 80s, 90s. Listen, the wave after wave of new material is coming out. Here's a premise. Listen, if you go to the ancient places where demon gods were summoned, worshipped, appeased, where human blood was shed, where temples were built on the specs leading guidance of those same spirit demon gods. If you go to those places, you've gone to the territory that they are connected to, that they claim rights to. And even if others or God himself has shut the doors that once enabled them to manifest and be operative and speak into hearts and minds and put people into trances and speak through them into groups like the Mayans of the past. Behind the scenes, it's this dark, dark, dark agenda that was given to them. You know what the Mayan prophecies are? Demonically inspired utterances about the future connected to science on their level that speak about the agenda that the dark side has. People are listening to some of the most clear didache of daemonoia when they're reading and putting forth Mayan prophecy. Mayan prophecy is inspired by the dark side from beginning to end. Mayan prophecy is about the dark side and promoting the dark side and promoting the events and what the dark side wants to. See, the dark side's bringing the hellish chaos that we've been talking about for the last few weeks. It's the dark side that will bring the hellish chaos, the red horse issue, the rise of the coming Antichrist, the devastating earth calamities, environmental events, where mountains are moved, where ground, thirds of the area of trees and grass and seas and water, fresh water, all taken away, where billions die. And as I watched the special last night, another one, I was about ready to pull my hair out. Because I'm listening about all the good stuff and all these wonderful, incredible, cutting-edge prophecies that have come forged out of hell's kitchen. And nobody's telling anybody that. Nobody's saying, heads up, everybody. This massive spiritual content is not of God. It came from the other side, off the backs, the lives, the necks, the guts, the hearts, the heads of humans that were sacrificed. Thank God that he shut down the horrible, cruel, bloodthirsty, bloodlusting, human-sacrificing Mayans and Aztecs and other places around the world. Thank God for the flood years back, behind the scenes of human history. Without the flood, that would have been a dark side invasion, transmuting humanity and the genetics of humanity, and eventually eliminating humankind and the takeover with hybrids. Jesus said, in the last days, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man, of the coming, in the very end of days. Should we expect the concept of hybrid? Yes, of course. That's what it was in the days of Noah. That's the reason for the flood. Deep human mutation and almost the elimination of pure humanity. God saved humanity, and there was a destruction that came to the demonic agenda and to those who were sold out for it. And so this continues, and I've tried to express that the dark side never, 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 never lets up. Even when it's defeated again and again and again and again. Remember Jesus, Matthew chapter 4, there's Satan himself, the fallen cherub, engaging Christ face to face, the audacity, the intensity. He's engaging Emmanuel, trying to get him to bow down. The finite's trying to get the infinite one to bow down. Of course, Jesus, no way, Jose, quotes the word of God 3 times. The devil goes away defeated, but the word of God says, until a more opportune time. The devil found opportunity, no doubt in Atlantis, no doubt in many other places, and among the Mayans. And when, as the history of God's revelation shows, the dark side so consumes a people, a tribe, to where they are so infested, so entrenched, so given over, so rejecting of the God of creation, the Redeemer, and embracing the dark side, that God does have a right to step in and stop it, lest it go further and further. Listen, would you take your child, put him in nice little ritualistic clothing, unto a real entity, a demon god, put him in a blazing, hot, burning pan to be fried alive until it dies? Would you do that? Manasseh did that with his son in the days of Moloch. Would you take your child or even a neighbor down to the temple, allow the priests that serve the demon gods to tie them up in a way that their chest and belly are sticking outward, then allow these demon-worshipping, demon-possessed priests in all of their garb that they were wearing, literally reach in with instruments, ripping into the guts, the belly of the person while they're alive, screaming, and pull out their guts. And then slowly, as blood comes out and everything goes, of course, how it is, they die. And the priest and all the people celebrate to the demon gods as satanic revels and demon revels continue. You think for a moment I'm going to give in to the lies, to the absolutely, this is upside down. Mind prophecies, demonically inspired predictive material that would only do 2 things. Divert people from the living God and God's real redemption and the power of God. And secondly, promote the satanic agenda for the future. Mind prophecy is saying, great chaos is coming, and then maybe a new age is coming. Okay. That is the Luciferic, demonic, real agenda that's going on behind the scenes. See how it feeds right into the New Age? See how the satanic synchronicity between the Masons, old occultists, real Luciferians, and ancient, deeply, deeply demonic civilizations. The temples were all dedicated to demon gods. You sit on, listen, you know what? Ted Owens, anybody wants to read the book, it's probably an old book, You can probably find it. PK Man, Ted Owens. Down among the Mayans, this Psi warrior, as he was conceived, was in one of the temples asking the entities that were guiding him for permission to talk to the God that was still there. You see, when Daniel Pinchbeck and all of these individuals go down there, when you watch the documentary, when you watch the DVDs, when you read some of the books, when you hear the talk shows, when you are listening to information about the Mayan prophecies, and you're hearing this gloating, glowing, you know, drooling over these prophecies as if they are amazing, that they're greater than science, greater than anything ever told. The demon gods that inspired the very words are still alive. And in the dark side synchronicity, spirit to spirit, cosmocrators, principalities, powers operating in territories and so forth, all they need to do is inspire some, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20, 1,000, 10,000, a million, and guide books and guide individuals. When I watch them sitting on those temple stairs, you know what? I don't really even care. It outraged me. I don't care what they think. It's not going to be lost individuals with satanic prophecies that are going to save the world. They're going to drown with what they've embraced if they don't break free. So tonight, gosh, in this, well, let me say it. I mean, we're in the middle of a live presentation here. And though we're really sticking to the overall theme, it wasn't specifically what we even plotted tonight. I honestly believe as you listen to the Spirit of God, you may see and feel God speaking to your heart and life. God is at work in the world to do good. Arranging, look at the book of Acts. Remember Peter was out there doing ministry, came in to eat, waiting upstairs, goes into a trance, sees things. God shows him that God wants all people, Jews, Gentiles, everybody saved. At that very moment, the Spirit of God tells him that three men are coming to the door to knock on the door, go with them. The three men that are coming to the door came from Cornelius' house, who was a worshiper of God but didn't know how to get saved. An angel told him, send for Peter, so he sent three people. There's this behind-the-scenes arrangement. Angels are at work. The Spirit of God is at work. A vision given to Peter. Men now that have been sent knocking on the door, the Spirit of God says, don't be afraid, go with those men. Peter goes with those men to Cornelius' house. As soon as the door opens up, and he has to tell them that he's just a man preaching the gospel, but when he pours out the power of God in the gospel of Christ, a household, a packed house that were hungry for God, wide open, received Christ, the power of the Spirit of God, and even signs of God's power occurred. God is at work. I trust that in all these live and archive broadcasts, that God is at work. And you've got to understand that there's another side at work also. Another side that is at work just like what occurred in the days of Noah, among the Philistines, among the Zamzumis, among the Anakites, among nations of the world. The same presence that operated the development of the Nazis and the goal for Godmen, Aryans. The same presence that guided Helena and Alice and all the writers and people that have forged this day we're living in. Globally, there is a presence. Revelation 12 reveals that presence as only God will do. The dragon. In Revelation 12, we have a revelation of that dark side as nowhere else in all of Scripture. Again and again and again, he's called, well, huge red dragon, megas red dragon. So that dark presence out there, that ominous sense that is plotting this global catastrophe, chaos, collapse, so that it can bring in a counterfeit new age with the Antichrist, of course. Well, it's a spiritual thing. It's real, but wrong. Real, but lethal. Real, but hellbound. We talked about Tuesday night, the battle, the war, actually, that goes on. And tonight we were going to talk about, clearly, the blood of the Lamb of Christ. And maybe I wasn't really brought off track, but really clearly on track. The Mayan civilization. The blood of thousands upon thousands upon thousands of children, women, and men are on the heads of the Mayan people. Mayan people today that would claim to be Mayan people today should repent for the past. Should do all they can to renounce and break the past. Should turn to the living God. See, law enforcement agent Tom Wedge, author of the book The Satan Hunter, at a police academy that he took me to, as he's teaching on advanced occult and satanic crimes, human sacrifice, pictures of dead people, a pink head of a girl whose face was peeled off, head cut off. She had no hair, no eyebrows, no eyelids, no skin. Just a pink head, after they used and abused her in a satanic ritual. I watched the law enforcement crime film. You want to talk about outrage? That's what the Mayans were all about. Total disregard for human pain, human misery, total disregard for human life. They were demonized in their thinking, demonized in their practice, demonized in their human sacrificing, demonized in all of their order of that day, the temples, all of it. And the demon gods that guided the people back then are there to this very day. They don't die. They don't go away. But they do operate to draw others. They've been calling people to come down. They've been looking to open new doors. Those who have the precursors of New Age spirits have a spiritual synchronicity from the dark side that looks like light at first to them, have been drawn there. Only to give glowing reports to draw more. Millions more. And this, again, is part of the MO of the dark side. The absolute masquerade. The mask seems glowing and good and fantastic and scientific and above everything else and elitist and incredible. Behind the mask, it's all built on the agony, bloodshed that bound the people. The more demons they raised, the more they wanted blood. The more that were there, it just continued to degrade, disintegrate. And so the dragon's work among the Mayans is what's been going on in many places around the world, satanic rituals, in preparation for the worst of the worst. The masquerade is always offered, as it was with Eve, a masquerade, enticement. It feels good, it looks good, it seems good, but it brings death, separation from God, and ultimately bloodshed in hell. So the question is, what will you choose? Which side will you side with? But don't ask me to sit silent and watch what seems to be good, kindly people, lost, I haven't read one individual that confesses Christ as Lord and Savior, as King. Not one that talks about the love of God in their life and the redemption and the power of God. Not one that talks about the blood of Jesus that liberates as compared to the blood of Satan sacrifices that binds people. Now, that was the point I was going to make concerning Tom Wedge. The law enforcement agent would say to all the other law enforcement agents, and it's written in his book, The Satan Hunter. You can pick it up. It's not. It's put out by a law enforcement press, but it is now on Amazon and other places. You can get it for a couple bucks. It's a good introduction to occult and satanic crimes. I've been to Tom's house. I've been out with Tom. I've been to field work. I've been to places where he set up field training and people got, well, blown up with just fake bombs and all the other, you know, perimeter things that are used in the context of satanic human sacrifice and rituals and hunting it down and dealing with it. But he used to always say to all the people, and I was glad for him to say this right in front of people in the police academy, that the blood given at sacrifices like that, Satan desires blood in order to bind people. Satan doesn't shed blood. Satan doesn't give his life. Satan orders individuals. Demons order individuals. Demon gods, Nephilim. They order people to shed human blood, to create human agony, human pain, human torture, human fear and horror, so they can come and revel in it and manifest on this side and through what they order claim rights. And they claimed rights among the Mayan people, among the temples, among the land. That land is packed with the blood of human sacrifice. Those temples are stained with the blood of human sacrifice. And scientists and book authors and radio hosts and others sit on those stairs singing the glories of the Mayans. And it's a absolute shameful lie. The prophecies do not tell you the truth. The prophecies that come from the Mayans anyway. When you read again the Spirit of God-given prophecies that are always accurate, infallible to the very point, it begins in verse 10, Revelation 12, when John, in this incredible God-given, when God gives revelation in pictorial form, it's communication, but it's in pictorial form. John now, here's what it says, verse 10, then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, in reference to the battle past, present, and what is to come, in the throwing down of Satan and his final work on the earth, which involves also the very soon accomplishment of God's work, redemption, the end of evil. So now the Spirit of God shows us, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. Notice the revelation here in verse 10. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. Those of you who are believers in Christ, the body of Christ, the accuser of the brethren, he's constantly slamming the other believers. He's constantly railing and slandering and speak. Don't join him. Be careful that you do not join Satan himself as the accuser of the brethren. He's been hurled down. He's angry. He's mad. He knows his time is short. Verse 11. When it comes to the revelation of Revelation 12, the full impact of the full force of satanic presence, well, who can stand? With all the catastrophe, with all of the chaos, with the Antichrist, the false prophet, with the counterfeit signs, wonders, with all that is coming, who can stand? Look at verse 11. If God gives me the opportunity to go down among the Mayan ruins, you can be sure that there I will stand on those ruins to rebuke, to stand against, to proclaim Christ, standing on those very steps. Oh, may God give me the opportunity to go there and stand on top of that temple and proclaim Christ and denounce the dark side, to preach Jesus to the people there now. And others. I don't care if they haul me away. God's love will overcome. Here's where we read verse 11. We got 5 minutes to get through another hour's worth of what I need to say. They, referring to anybody who believes in the person of the living Christ. Why these scholars, these researchers, these book authors, these filmmakers can glorify the Mayans, ignore, put down, or even de-deify Jesus, throw him off the cross, and make him but a New Age guru, a psychic, an alien, and preach what God condemns, a false gospel? Anybody, anywhere in all of the world that believes in the living Christ and knows him personally, in the midst of all the hellish darkness that everybody talks about, including us, here's what the Word of God says. They, you, believers in Jesus, overcame him, the dragon, the ancient serpent, the devil, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. The blood shed by the Lamb of God was what liberates humanity and brings us back into direct fellowship, personal knowing, and eternal relationship to God. The blood of the Lamb. The demons, they hate it. To stand on a Mayan temple or on the stairs or among the grounds and proclaim the blood of Christ. By the way, let me mention, I'll post this on our website, a little devotional book written by Andrew Murray, The Power of the Blood of Christ. I'll post it on the website tonight. The Power of the Blood of Jesus Christ by Andrew Murray. By all means, get it. Couple bucks, get it. Absorb the totality of biblical revelation that he brings in a devotional setting. Awesome. The precious blood of Christ, the eternal blood of Christ, the sinless blood of Christ. The blood that Jesus shed came from a sinless God in human flesh, man on the cross, liberating anyone in all of history that would believe in him, receive him. Total, absolute, eternal forgiveness. Freedom from the power of sin, the power of Satan, the power of death, the power of hell. Opens the door to the entrance of God coming in and an ultimate glorification in seeing God face to face. In the end of it all of those who want to stand in the midst of the darkness, you overcome, you have decisive victory by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, Jesus Christ. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. My goodness, we are out of time. The music is here. And I can just tell you that, listen, rustisdarshatterthedarkness.net.